You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Comes the boom, ready or not. You're listening to the Toil of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, my co-host Randall Thor. Randall,
I have not forgotten my ham horn. I have it in my hand, and it is ready to destroy you.
Oh yes, you just heard "Wings of Chains." That's off the debut album from Bat, called "Wings of Chains." It's dropped last Friday on Hell's Headbangers. Of course, features Ryan Waste of Municipal Waste on guitar. And you know what? It's sick.
You know, it's another missed opportunity, though. I mean, Wings of Chains, they're so close. Album and self-titled track, but no, they don't. Do they not have a bat?
Yeah, I think Wings of Chains would be a sweeter band name. I mean, there's nothing wrong with bat. It's just kind of hard to Google.
Yeah, I mean, you could just Google bat metal, although, you know, you might end up finding an as of yet undiscovered subgenre that people are into, like somewhere in Brazil. But I feel like bat metal should take you. But if you Google just Wings of Chains, then yeah, nobody's using that.
I mean, if you Google bat metal, I bet you $100 that it pulls up Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off a bat.
Oh, or it probably pulls up that Batman metal music video.
Oh, right.
I think it's to Death Clock's Face, Fist, whatever. It's actually pretty enjoyable. It's really funny. It's really well done. It sounds awful and stupid, but it is stupid, but it's the good kind of stupid. Anyways, that track is pretty sweet. My only issue is I didn't know anything about it. I didn't see the name of the band or anything, or know anything about it. So it kicks in with those toms and that just old school heavy metal vibe, and I'm getting stoked. I'm like, holy crap, Joe just found old school heavy metal band for me this week. This is going to be awesome. And then the vocals come in, and I'm like, oh, it's more black metal stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a great track and all, but I just got so disappointed and so deflated by
You
that.
were wanting a strong falsetto to lead it off, like, oh!
I mean, I wouldn't have minded somebody just coming and do the Highway Star thing, but it didn't need that, but it didn't have any clean vocals, and I was just deflated by that. But otherwise, it's just nice solos for guitar and bass. They sound like to be an absolute party live. I want to see them.
Me
It'd be
too.
Great.
I've now put this album on my iPhone. I am now listening to it when I get hella swole at the gym, bro. So,
hell yeah, bro.
Bat gets the swole seal of endorsement.
Joe, you said earlier you were poisoning everything in your house.
Yes. For people that don't follow my personal life obsessively, number one, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm an interesting person. I recently bought a house.
Tell yourself that.
Yes, I recently bought a house, and this is my first house. I'm experiencing all the joys of and pitfalls of homeownership. And what I found is that my home is infested with a variety of creatures that don't belong here.
They're not cute or fluffy or anything.
Exactly. I've got a problem with roaches, I've got a problem with fruit flies, and I've got a problem with mosquitoes. They are all conspiring to ruin my life.
You have mosquitoes in your house?
They're everywhere.
Oh, that's okay. Fruit flies are really obnoxious. Like, I had a problem about a month ago with them, but they seem to have disappeared. And Albus loves roaches, so that's fine.
Well, I've got two cats moving in a couple of weeks. My girlfriend is moving in along with her cat, so hopefully they'll take care of the roaches. But everything else is, it's my turf, it's my problem. So I spent the day yesterday with my girlfriend. We went to Home Depot, you know, which is a nice, lovely thing to do. And I bought all of the poison I could. We sprayed the entire lawn with this industrial grade mosquito killer, and I don't know. We'll see if it works. I sprayed the entire perimeter, all of the windows, all of the doors. I sealed some windows with caulk. That's not caulk. That's caulk. And
it's more fun if you say, "Yeah, put my caulk in the windows."
So by the end of the day, we were exhausted, covered in poison, and then I developed a amazing headache and nosebleed that lasted throughout most of the night. So I'm sure that that's unrelated to the vast quantities of poison.
Totally.
That we breathe.
There's no way
all day.
That poison designed to kill other lives would hurt you in any way.
Yeah,
I imagine just a random headache.
That's my working assumption.
You should bathe in the poison. That way they won't touch you.
That's a good idea. So if I'm not back for the radio show next week, it's because I developed some kind of horrific lemon-sized twitching tumor from all of this poison I breathed in yesterday.
Did you not, you know, think to get one of those little masks?
Here's the fucked up thing. I actually have them in my garage. I just didn't think to wear them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, old people wear them because allergies are a disease, and then what is it? It's a popular thing in, was it, I know it's Asia. It's Japan or China where they wear them a lot?
Yeah, to protect against airborne disease.
Right, but in America, you know, we're perfect. We don't have that problem. So we should never have to wear masks because
yeah.
Our air is free and delicious and perfect.
Exactly. God bless America.
God bless the USA.
So here's an interesting thing I did. Last week, I thought it would be fun to throw out on our Toil of Hell Facebook group something for the readers. I said, please, readers, send me a question for Randall and I, and we're going to answer it on next week's show. So throughout the show, we're going to be answering questions that you guys submitted about everything under the sun, and most of these are incredibly stupid, just as a heads up.
Yep, let's get started. If I fell into a gorilla enclosure, what would you do?
You know, that's a tough call. I have to protect the sanctity of life, and gorillas are, from what I understand, endangered, and Randall's are not. So I would have to allow him to raise you as his own.
That took a little different turn at the end there than I expected. I figured you're just going to leave me to die and let him violently murder and separate my limbs from my body. But I'm okay with that.
I mean, I don't know this particular gorilla. He could be a sweet gorilla looking for a new friend.
Yeah, I mean, I'd totally be down to be buddies with a gorilla. What was that one ape that could do sign language, and it had like a vocabulary of like 100 words.
Coco.
Like, who would not want to be best friends with Coco?
Yeah, you could learn sign language too.
You know who would not want to be best friends with Coco? Hitler. How would you kill a baby Hitler?
How would I kill a baby Hitler?
A baby Hitler.
You know, here's the thing about baby Hitler is that if you were to go in the past and find baby Hitler, nobody knows what a Hitler is. You're just some weird adult wearing strange clothes murdering a baby.
Yeah, you don't go down in history looking very good for that.
No, you don't. So you'd have to be real secret-like about it, you know?
Oh no, it was an accident. He accidentally swallowed all this poison I bought at Home Depot.
Yeah, I think the best idea is you're in a time where people don't know shit about the things that harm children, so you'd want to just maybe smoke a lot around it.
Maybe convince his mom to smoke and drink?
Yeah.
During pregnancy?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm from the future. We do it all the time. There's no harm.
Yeah, that most doctors recommend camels.
There you go. Actually, it was camel. I guess camel would have been around back then.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, either way, you can say, hey, here's some cigarettes from the future, and I brought this incredible elixir we have from the future called Jaeger.
It's a magical potion. It allows.
I was about to say Fireball, but then I was like, "Wait, there's something worse than Fireball." And Fireball is actually delicious to drink. I just know it's absolutely garbage quality. But Jaeger, on the other hand, is just absolutely disgusting, filthy, abomination of a liquor.
Yes, it's a magical potion that allows you to travel forward through time
at the speed of one evening. That you
All right, let's get back into some music. How do you feel about that?
I'm totally okay with that.
Dude, this next one, this is a real album of the year contender for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This is Gutter Instinct with Ooh, Age of the Fanatics. Age of the Fanatics from Age of the Fanatics by Gutter Instinct. So rad. I'm going to give that 3 out of 3 air horn blasts.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this was a really awesome surprise for me. So I feel like I've heard Gutter Instinct around. I've never listened to them before today. And, you know, the guitar comes in. It's very obviously Sweet F, D beat, HM2, all the way to 11. And so I was thinking, okay, sweet. I love Sweet F. This is probably my favorite style of death metal. And they're just going to do your typical Sweet F thing. And I'll be happy. They'll be happy. We had a great party. Whatever. But then, you know, it starts moving into the song. And there's almost a Flurian death metal feel to it in terms of the music. Obviously, Flurian death metal does not abuse HM2 pedals, but it's just something I didn't know I needed. Like old school Morbid Angel, Death, Obituary, Possessed, played with an HM2 pedal.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, yes.
There's definitely that the southern groove of death metal in addition to that stabbing guitar tone. So everything about this just does it for me.
Yeah, they even threw a 7-4 riff in there at the end. I was just, what am I hearing? What is happening? I was very surprised, very impressed by it. I am stoked to hear the rest of the album now because that is some really cool stuff.
You are in luck because it just dropped like a week ago.
Oh, perfect. And I'm going to get on that this week probably.
I think I bought their last size large t-shirt from their pre-order package.
Yeah, nice.
They did something that not enough metal bands do is they offered a white t-shirt.
Yeah, that's the thing bands just don't seem to get. I don't need complex art or images on my t-shirt. I'm totally happy with a black or white t-shirt with your logo on it.
Yep.
That's fine.
I live in Texas where it is hotter than Satan's asshole, so
right.
Additional black clothing is just not going to work for me, man. I don't know how crust punks here do it in leather jackets and black pants and boots.
It helps them develop their unique musk.
True.
So, you know what time it is? It's time for more questions from our Facebook group. Joe, what is your favorite food to eat when you want to hate yourself?
I used to work at a terrible wing joint in college called Pluckers. It bills itself as being notoriously unhealthy. The people that own it are assholes. I don't recommend you eat there unless you just want to have violent diarrhea. So when I feel that urge, I go in and I order the boneless wing basket with waffle fries and cover it all with the hottest hot sauce they have. It's a real feast for all of your senses. You're going to just reek afterwards. How about you?
Oh, probably just get a large pizza from Domino's and eat the whole thing by myself.
Ooh, that is really self-loathing behavior.
But it's so good. It is so wonderful. I love it.
I'm not all a right. Domino's man. I can't get behind the Domino's model.
I like their garlic crust. I'd rather support local pizza chains, but there's a really good pizza joint actually right near my house. It's New York style pizza, which is the only style of pizza that matters really.
True.
And it's solid. It's really good. I wish it was a little bit closer. It's like a 30-minute walk because I would walk to it and eat there all the time. But they have like a $5-6 lunch special, 2 big slices and a drink, and it's you can't beat it. You just get a big old Mountain Dew. And each pizza, they have buffalo chicken pizza that is to die for.
I would eat that.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of eating food and hating yourself, if you're pooping explosive diarrhea on a gas station bathroom floor in the middle of nowhere and there's no paper, do you use your right or left sock and why?
This question is a fallacy. Like, let's just go ahead and put that out there. You don't use just one sock. You're not going to be off balance the entire day because you use either your left or your right sock to wipe. You're going to want to ditch both of them. And if you're taking that gas station dump, it's certain that you're going to need both of them.
Absolutely. I mean, what I would probably do is use my left sock to go ahead and wipe the toilet seat off. Although I guess if I'm explosive diarrhea, I didn't have time to do that. But if I did, I would use one of the socks to wipe off the toilet seat, then put it on the floor or in my lap or something, and then use it to wipe, and then use the other one to wipe whatever's left and just hope that took care of everything.
That makes sense. You know, I've noticed it's a common thing with people that talk to me about their bowel movements, which is a shocking number of people for not asking them. People are awfully squeamish about using public restrooms, and I am not. I will use whatever terrible restroom you've got at hand.
Hey, I pooped in the Walmart bathroom multiple times, and the one near me is actually, their stall is actually kind of nice. It's got like a real thick metal, like that plastic metal kind of thing. And it's, well, this is the handicap stall, obviously. And it's, I was impressed. I would use that one again anytime.
Well, I mean, Walmart, it's a, you know, national corporation. They have standards for cleanliness. They've got regular shifts that have to go through and clean it. I'm talking about the venue with a broken, with the one stall that has a broken door and you're not sure if it'll actually work or not. It's
Oh
fine.
yeah.
I'll go for it.
No, the local venue, the Milestone, which save the Milestone, go donate your money to it. It's needs some repairs, but their bathroom, the doors don't really shut all the way, and they're single stall bathrooms. And so I had to take a dump in there one time. So I'm just sitting there, and I got walked in on by like four people. I'm like, oh, somebody's in here. Sorry.
If you're at that level of desperation, you have to rise above your own ego and just take care of business.
I just had to poop and it was there. And I said, I don't really care. I know most of the people here anyway, so it's funny. Whatever. I don't have shame. I don't experience embarrassment. So to me, it's like, hey, you saw my legs and saw that I was pooping. So good job. I'll clap for you. What I need to do next time, though, is if I'm ever pooping into Milestone again, I should get this little guy ready. And as soon as they open the door, just blast him. So, but maybe next time I'll have to do that.
You are
Let's
now
see.
pooping with the best. Do 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 do.
Do you want to do one more question or you want to move on?
Let's go ahead and play another track. This
All
is
right.
Condition Critical with Voluntary Disfigurement.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Condition Critical with Voluntary Disfigurement. That was the fourth track off their second album, Extermination Plan. That particular track featured John Kebbell of Warbringer and Tom Martin of Lich King.
I'm about to say, I thought I noticed the vocals there were very similar to Kebbell, but I didn't Google it and find out. It has that aggressive late 80s thrash vibe going hard. Reminds me a little bit of Dark Angel Demolition Hammer.
Yeah.
Just a lot of really frenetic riffing.
Now that you mention it, I get both of those bands, like that kind of vibe. Huh.
Well, I noticed like people who like Dark Angel like enjoy mocking other thrash for not having enough riffs, and then people who like Demolition Hammer enjoy mocking Dark Angel for not having enough riffs. So I don't really care. They're both good. Whatever.
When will we be satisfied by riffs?
I will not be satisfied until there's a song that is 3,000 riffs.
3,000.
Exactly 3,000. No more, no less. You don't want a song to be too long. Now, the bass is really high in the mix, so that's pretty unique. I like that. I love that falsetto in the beginning, too. It just screams, thrash! Rah! But, yeah, so it's a great track. I'll definitely probably check this album out as well, just because the people on it are good. Is it out already?
It is out already. Here's my beef with this one. You can listen to it on YouTube if you want. You can order a CD. There is no other way of listening to this record.
Oh, that's annoying. Oh, come on. Like, if the album's on YouTube, that's one thing. But it's 2016. I get it. It's not the same as the 80s or 90s anymore. You can't expect people to go buy your album just to be able to listen to it anymore. That's just not how it works anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm in bands, so I want to make money too off of my music. But I mean, I need to allow people via Bandcamp, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, whatever they feel like using. I need to give them at least one avenue to be able to listen to my album before they purchase it.
Exactly.
Because if I tell you, Joe, man, I just wrote the sickest metal album. It goes so hard. And you're like, cool. And then you shell out $15 for my album, $10, whatever. I'll cut you a deal and give it to you for $5. Either way. And then you listen to it, and it's a bunch of dusty, old-sounding heavy metal tracks that you don't like. Now you're mad because you just paid money for something you don't like. But if I said, Joe, this album goes so hard, and then you listen to it and say, no, it's not my style, man, sorry. And then you don't buy it, you didn't lose your money.
Yep, and I've mentioned it before, I am a paid shill for Bandcamp, so please use Bandcamp bands. It's so convenient for bloggers, for listeners, for bands, for everybody.
It's awesome for everybody. It's not as convenient as Spotify for listening for it. I just vastly prefer Spotify for mass listening. But if I want to find music, Bandcamp is by far the best website and probably the best service all around for everyone involved in making and selling and purchasing music.
Agreed.
Nothing comes close.
Bands do both. Spotify as well. It's really, really easy.
So let's talk about something that happened on my wall. I made a post about how good Bolt Thrower is.
They are, in fact, good.
I basically said that I don't understand how anybody can say they like death metal and not like Bolt Thrower. And someone took that the next step for me, which I should have said in the first place, and say, if you don't like Bolt Thrower, you don't like death metal, which is probably true too. And if you disagree, then you're wrong. And it must suck being wrong all the time. And I feel bad for you that you still have many years of your life left to live being wrong. So enjoy those. Or don't. But some guy came in there, oh, this is a death metal band? I always thought they were a war metal. And I said, okay, well, I can get it. They sang about war, but lyrics don't have anything to do with genre. And this dude went on this long argument with us. Me and a few, I think you were involved as well, Joe.
I was mostly there to poke the bear, because I thought this was incredibly amusing.
It was, but he just refused to give up. He pulled out a definition of genre from Wikipedia or something. It basically said genre is a term used to classify art, music, and or literature. And then it said it can be determined by style or musical qualities or subject matter. And it's very clear based on the definition that it was, you know, using the terms respectively. So, because they're using them in the same order for art, music, and literature. And this dude is sitting there trying to argue with us that subject matter was important to musical genre, which makes just balls no sense. Just, well, absolutely stupid.
I mean, everyone's favorite, alcohol metal band is Municipal Waste, and everyone's favorite environmental metal band is Gojira, and yeah, of course, those
whale
are
whale metal,
things.
yeah, absolutely. No, but it's just, to me, genre classification is important, because if you say, man, I love war metal, give me some, and somebody sends me Bolthor, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, cool, Bolthor, I like them, but that's not what I was asking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I would assume that you would want Revenge.
Or Titan Blood, or Diocletian, or Blasphemy, or anything, maybe arguably Axis of Advance. I've heard people contest that before. I don't care. It fits to me, and it's close enough either way. But you get what I'm saying. It's just classification helps discussion, and it helps exploration, and it helps so many things, and you're just, oh, it blows my mind that people can, well, two things blow my mind about people and genre classification. One, people get really defensive and knee-jerky. I know some of our listeners don't like being a stickler for genre classification, and I disagree with them, because it's not an elitist attitude to be a stickler about genre classification. Elitism is just simply being closed-minded to other ideas. It's me saying, I'm not going to listen to this band because their name is funny. I'm not going to listen to this band for whatever. Or more often, elitism takes form in the fact that, oh, this band sucks because they're too popular, or this band sucks because reason X, whatever. So the only time that logic ever really applies is this band sucks because they're playing metalcore, which of course it does.
Yeah, if you
but
if you
that
say,
is elite, that is elitism. What I just did, that is, and fine.
As but, if you've made it this far down the rabbit hole of extreme metal and weird internet culture, you know the difference between basically Bolt Thrower and Bestial Warlust or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah, and so it fascinates me that people think that being a snob about genre classification, or being highly educated on it, or I wouldn't even say education, because if you really want to get down to the nitpicky about it, genres are subjective. It's just a very widely agreed upon subjective term. But I don't know, man. It's just it doesn't make you elitist to be crazy about genres, and this should be a basic thing you learn as you listen to music. Hey, what is this band called? Okay, they're called Bolthor. Okay, what do they play? Death metal. Cool. Now I know what to look for if I want more of this, or now I know how to describe it to other people. It saves me a lot of time instead of having to describe every musical quality Bolthor has every single time I want a band like Bolthor, or like death metal, or black metal. And then you get the opposite people who are like, oh, it's all metal to me, man. Back in the day, we just called it metal. No, you didn't.
Those people should be thrown into the sun.
I kind of want to be thrown into the sun, so let's not give them something I want.
It's not all metal, okay? It's all screamy stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all just guitar music anyways. Back in my day, we just called it guitar music.
All right, let's do another question.
Let's move on. Yeah, I'm getting rambly. All right, so question time. Hold on. I failed you. I did not have this guy ready. All right, now we're ready. Okay. Time for another question from the Facebook group. Joe, if you could erase an entire band's music from history, who and why?
I am so glad that you asked this question. Easily, hands down, Varg Vikernes, or however the hell you pronounce his name. He's a Nazi. He sucks, and I'm so sick of having to defend my hatred of his boring-ass music. Just because people like, I don't know, plotting poopy synth.
I mean, I like a couple Burzum albums. I don't buy them on purpose. Actually, no, I lied. I did buy one because I'm an idiot. But I don't buy them because I don't want to support the guy. So I listen to him on Spotify, like on the one time a year I feel that one of his albums sounds good right now. But yeah, that's a fair one. I can see why you'd go down that path.
I would like to take away the international symbol for edgy children, the Burzum t-shirt.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, every time I see a Burzum shirt, I'm like, oh, good. You like, and then I do air quotes, black metal and trying hard and offending people because you think it's funny.
Yeah, pretty much. How about you?
You know who I'm going to say. Can you guess who I'm going to say?
Is it Pantera?
It's Pantera! Pantera, the single worst influence on heavy metal in heavy metal history. Before Pantera, heavy metal was fun, and yeah, you had the occasional song about being tough. I mean, look at Jagdpanzer's debut album, Ample Destruction. Harder Than Steel's about fighting everybody, basically. You had plenty of tough guy stuff, but it wasn't the main center. It wasn't the focus. There wasn't this subhuman vermin dragging their knuckles around the ground, talking about how tough they are all the time. That wasn't the image. And then Pantera came around, and oh, Albus is on my keyboard. Don't type things, Albus. Those are my notes. Then Pantera came around and just blew that out of the water and ruined everything for everybody forever. So even if you do like Pantera's music, I'm not going to argue with you on that one. Fine, whatever. But you cannot deny the amount of bands that Pantera has influenced and is staggering, and a staggering amount of those bands, about, I don't know, 100% of them are terrible.
I love Pantera. I will always love Pantera, even though Phil Anselmo is apparently a giant dill hole. But you are correct. The amount of terrible bands influenced by Pantera has to be higher than any other band.
That's the sad part of me, is because I don't like Pantera. What I hate about Pantera is the bands and people they've influenced, because they took the tough guy attitudes from Pantera, especially from songs like Walk, where it's about respect, are you talking to me, boy? Walk on home, boy. And just thinking that metal has to be about this tough guy attitude and just all this terrible butt rock and there's so much wrong with everything that's come from Pantera. So I would be a little saddened by the fact that, you know, Cowboys from Hell isn't around or power metal isn't around anymore. And I would feel bad for people like you who legitimately enjoy Pantera without embodying the worst parts of Pantera, but I think it would do a lot of good.
You take that back. I am an ignorant Southern stereotype.
Joe, you're doing a radio show for a blog called The Toilet of Hell. I'm pretty sure you've transcended that stereotype already. All right, that was only one question, man. We got another question to do before I'm letting you move on.
All right.
Speaking of The Toilet of Hell, what was the most embarrassing time you had to tell someone you worked for The Toilet of Hell?
I think when the blog first started, I was really knee-deep in trying to make this work. I was also interviewing for a new job. It doesn't really matter what I do. Let's say I work with computers, because I do. My boss was asking me about... my now boss was asking me about expertise within certain online channels, and I definitely used my experience with Toilet of Hell as a resume point.
Ooh, that is... Wow. You're not kidding about being desperate.
Yeah, I got the job, though. It was good.
Ooh. The Toilet of Hell came through. And now you've got all the Toilet of Hell money coming through, and you just, you know, totally don't work or have a job or have money issues ever.
Exactly.
For me, I like I said earlier, I don't feel shame. I'm not embarrassed by anything because I'm an idiot. But I would say Rivers and Nile came through, and they were playing a show, and I enjoyed a few extra beverages. I had a driver, and I was going up to them inebriated, trying to tell them about this new blog called The Toilet of Hell. You guys should totally check it out. And I, looking back, I'm ashamed of that. Not because it was a Toilet of Hell. No, I'm proud of that. I think it's awesome. I'm glad we were doing it and we're working on it and everything. But more just how awful of a human I must have been at that point. Just, I felt so bad for them having to deal with me and not leaving them alone. I don't ever really do this. I just don't know why I was possessed to do so that night.
Too many high C's.
So to what?
Too many high C's.
Man, just had a lot of grape juice. It was bad. No, but that would probably be my most embarrassing moment. All right, you want to move on now?
Let's do it, man. This is Dark Ministry with Blood Driven.
Yeah.
was Dark Ministry with Blood Driven, one of the three tracks on the debut EP from this new band, the project of former Exciter drummer Eric Charron. I wasn't exactly sure what to expect with that, but I gotta say, it was really rocking, dude.
Yeah, it's solid. But why are the drums so loud? Why do bands refuse to lower the kick volume? Stop clicking at me.
That is my one complaint with it, and as the song continued, I was just so busy focusing on rocking that I stopped noticing the drums so much. But I have to say, perhaps because it's the project of a drummer, that the drums are so up in your face.
That when you said it was a drummer, I was like, oh, of course, that's why they're loud. But it's serviceable thrash. I mean, there's plenty of good riffs. There's a good solo. The vocals are fine. There's nothing wrong except for the kick drum. Everything else is, it's like you said, it's rocking. It's good.
The vocals were really great. It was just kind of mumbly and ignorant, yeah. And it really worked for me. I liked it.
Yeah, the riffs, there's the solid groove going on there without dipping into like ignorant, dumb groove riffs. It's just got that solid 80s thrash groove going on. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But that was it. Yeah, the riffs are good. It's a good song. I just, that kick drum, oof, that was rough on my ears, man.
Yeah. Well, I can just imagine the guy behind Eric just behind the board like, no, more kick drum. We're going to need more kick drum on this one.
I mean, I have to actively remind myself, no, you're the singer. That does not mean you need to be in the front. Or no, you're the bass player. You don't need to be in the front. Stop. All right. We got, oh my God, I'm such a failure. I forgot to get the ham horn ready again.
No.
We got more questions.
All right.
We're going to answer these real quick. Joe, if a portal to hell opened in the Toilet of Hell compound, who would be the first to be eaten by a cacodemon?
I have to say the Master Lord. He is a giant disappointment. He would be the first to be murdered.
Oh, God, I didn't expect that one. I'm going to have to go with Link. He's lovable, and he would be by far the saddest person if he would be eaten first. So if we were all in a movie, and we're all in there, and a cacodemon pops up, for the most powerful emotional effect, I think Link would have to be the first to go.
See, I can imagine him trying to hug the demon.
Yeah, he's so nice, he'd be like, oh, guys, it's not a problem. And then, munch, done.
Poor Link.
All right, next one. Worst concert.
Worst concert.
Worst concert you've ever been to.
I'm going to go ahead and really put myself on the line. The first concert that I ever saw as a kid, I saw Creed. And it was my buddy's birthday. He was a big fan. We played guitar together a lot. He was like, man, you got to go see Creed with me. And even at that young and impressionable age, I knew Creed sucked. And boy, did they suck when I saw them live.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to see that. That deserves a just an obligatory ham horn out of sympathy for you. For me, aside from the myriad of metalcore bands I've had to see live, I've got two of them torn between. So I saw a Five Finger Death Punch song played live before I left Carolina Rebellion. But I hesitate to say that's the worst because the actual logistics and the fest organizers did such a wonderful job with the whole fest outside of the bands they choose to play. So I feel bad saying that's the worst concert. And the other one would probably be, this is a band I really like actually, 1349. I was so excited to see them. They came out to my favorite song, and I walked out before the song was even over. It was just that bad.
Wow, what happened?
I don't know. The sound was off. It was weird. The front man, he just kind of did this random wandering around on the stage. Like, it wasn't cool. It was just weird. And it was, I don't even remember all the details, but I remember coming out, and it was just immensely underwhelming. So much so that I didn't even want to watch another song. The vocalist, he was just not, he had no presence. I mean, I've never seen a vocalist have such bad stage presence that I was turned off by. I've been a lead singer. I've had plenty of concerts where I just kind of stood around a little bit and headbanged and didn't do too much else. But I've also had concerts where I kind of know what I'm doing. But this guy, he just walked around and yelled about Satan and burning flesh. And I don't know, it was just bad. Well, let's move on though. Right. Still, 1349 is still a great band. And I still enjoy them on studio. I'll just be hesitant to go see them again. Moving along. Favorite retro game?
Favorite retro game. You go first.
Yeah, I was hoping you would go first, but hold on. Give me a second. I would say, I assume by retro game, we're talking like nothing after Super Nintendo. Super. Stuff like that.
Ooh, I mean, that makes it even more difficult.
If we're going to include indie games that are retro-styled, I would say Cave Story. Because it's just an excellent little game, Metroidvania style. If we're going to say nothing released after N64 released, meaning Super Nintendo, Sega, stuff like that, I would probably say Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's a good choice.
Number two specifically.
Okay, good call. I put together a Raspberry Pi emulation system over the last couple of weeks to play.
Nerd!
I should have said that out loud. I put this together with the express purpose because I really wanted to play Suikoden 2 on my television. I had it as a kid. I had a pirated version of it because I was cheap, and it was just such a great game. I can't wait to revisit that. That and a little game called Herc's Adventures, in which you go through historically inaccurate Greek ancient myths.
I think I've seen that game, but I've never played that one.
I was a big fan as a little boy.
All right, you're not getting away from this one. Top three favorite anime.
Number three, because I haven't seen very many, I'm going to go with Akira.
Oof, good one.
Yeah, the city of Tokyo is like destroyed by a giant monster thing. I don't know. I don't really understand what happened in it, but I liked watching it.
I can explain it to you if you want, but we've been talking a lot, so I won't.
Number two, I don't think it's accurate at all because if I recall correctly, all of the jokes were written by Americans. Shin-chan, as it came on Adult Swim.
Shin-chan?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's what it's called?
I think so. It's about a little boy who's a total asshole.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that one. Sorry.
A really dirty adult humor on that. So I don't know. And number one, King of the Hill.
Dude, it's the greatest anime ever created of all time.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Animu. Anyways, my top three favorite, because I actually know this because I'm a loser. Gurren Lagann, Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann is all-time my favorite. It's just a dumb mecha anime that takes all the series tropes and drives them straight to 11 while still maintaining a nice plot and consistent theme throughout the entire series. Number two, Cowboy Bebop. If you don't have a specific reason for a number one anime that is not Cowboy Bebop, it should be Cowboy Bebop. Joe, you would probably like this anime. It's just flawless. I think there's a soundtrack, unique soundtrack for every single episode. It's jazzy. Oh, so jazzy. So good. It's just really, the music alone is worth watching it for. And number three, some Gundam show. I don't know. It could be Zeta, Unicorn, or Iron-Blooded Orphans. They're all fantastic.
There you have it, folks.
Favorite anime. Randall Thor and Joe have weighed in. Now get watching. All right, so I guess we're kind of talking a lot this time. Why don't we give our listeners one more song and call it a day?
Okay. I'd really like to mix things up. As always, I save a Stranger track for the last one. So if you don't like it, you can just skip it, you miserable bastard.
These people put time and effort into this music. Listen to it.
I first encountered this album, I think, 2 years ago. It's a band from the Czech Republic called Menon Murat. I'm not sure how to pronounce it because not Czech, duh. And it's finally getting a U.S. release. This has been something I've enjoyed for a long time. It's the Menon Murat EP. And if you like lush shoegaze with female vocals, I mean, and you're listening to an extreme metal show, why wouldn't you?
Right.
This is for you. Or you can just go back to the beginning of the show and listen to more metal. This is To Forget by Menon Murat. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, Randall Thor. This has been the Toilet of Hell radio show. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.